My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Higher interest rates for longer? Maybe. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer in for David Brancaccio. Federal Reserve officials wrapped up a big meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming over the weekend. Fed Chair Jerome Powell kicked things off with a major speech last Friday. Julia Coronado was there. She's president and founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
First, can you give us a sense of the mood at Jackson Hole this year?
I would say the mood is a mix of relief that we are actually making progress on inflation and the economy has proven more resilient than anyone expected, but also a great deal of uncertainty about what lies ahead. Just lots of changes in the global economy, a lot of discussion about shifting globalization, changing trading patterns, uncertainty about inflation. So a lot of caution about the outlook as well.
Lots of question marks. And I see that you wrote on Twitter or X that Powell seemed to be calling for higher interest rates for longer. So how much longer? And could the Fed raise rates again when it meets in September?
I don't think that the likelihood they'll raise rates in September is very high. What Powell expressed was that they have done a lot, they've come very far, and that they can be a little bit more patient and gather a little bit more information before making their next decision. So I don't think September is very likely. Whether they go higher from here is also kind of dependent on the data. We need to follow the data and see whether there's a need to. They do think that interest rates are high enough to apply downward pressure to be a headwind on the economy and cool inflation over time. But whether they've done enough, again, the data will have to tell us that.
And we're going to be getting a lot of data this week, including the jobs report on Friday. What do you think Fed officials will be paying the most attention to?
I think the direction of travel is very important. Job gains have been cooling. They're still very robust. It's a strong job market. Unemployment is low. That's good. But they don't want to see the labor market heat up again to the point where it's generating wage pressures and inflation pressures. So if we continue cooling off, and of course, if we stay resilient with job gains that keep unemployment low, that's the sweet spot. And I think that's really what the consensus is looking for on Friday.
Economist Julia Coronado, thank you.
My pleasure.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Alaska fishermen have hauled in record salmon harvests in recent years. Last summer's catch of sockeye was at an all-time high, 75 million fish. And this year's catches are strong, too. Now prices are cratering. As Nat Herz reports, you can blame or thank the usual suspects, supply and demand, and Russian salmon exports seem to be part of the equation.
Jared Danielson is having a slow day of salmon fishing out off the Alaska Peninsula, the long finger of land jutting toward the Aleutian Islands. While his fishing net bobs in the water, he has time for a quick boat tour thanks to satellite internet.
There's my little bag of fish I have all day. You can see the rest is empty.
For a summer of hard work, when salmon prices are high, Danielson can take home a six-figure profit. But this summer, he's getting just 70 cents a pound, less than half of last year's price. He's not expecting to break even.
The disaster. Worst season ever for pretty much everyone I've talked to.
One big factor in this disaster is that Alaska salmon is sold around the world. Brody Pearson used to sell salmon on the global marketplace. He says customers in Great Britain love canned sockeye.
And they'll make salmon cucumber sandwiches day in and day out. That's their PB&J, so to speak.
But Pearson says global consumers are eating fewer of those sandwiches and other salmon products these days with the threat of an economic slowdown. On top of that, there's also a huge quantity of leftover salmon from last year's enormous harvest.
There was no market to take all of that supply.
And speaking of supply, it's not just Alaska fish that there's too much of. Seafood processing companies are accusing Russia of dumping its own record catch of salmon into global markets this year to pay for its war on Ukraine. In spite of sanctions, some Russian fish exports still make it to the U.S. That's because there's a loophole that allows fish into the country if it's first processed in China. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska has tried and so far failed to get Congress and the Biden administration to crack down.
The whole point of these sanctions was to go after people who are supporting Putin to let them feel pain. The only people who are feeling pain right now are Alaskan fishermen.
International fish sales are kind of like oil for Russia. Some economists say they generate cash the country can then use to pay for war supplies from places like Iran or China. And the flood of Russian-caught fish on the global market means fishermen in Alaska turn less of a profit. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz for Marketplace.
The team that works on our evening program, Marketplace, is getting ready for their morning meeting right about now. Listen later to what my colleague Kai Rizdahl has for you on many public radio stations or at marketplace.org. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.